Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.
When's the last time you went camping, Hutsy? Do you even remember?
Geez, yeah, I got yelled at last. I get yelled at every time I go camping.
Why?
We end up going to those camping parks where it's like it's almost like an old folks' retirement home. And after I've had a couple of beers, we're up at 11 o'clock at night. We're having some nice little yarns.
Oh, so you stay in a cabin? Is this what?
No, usually camping. But it was most of the last times we've been camping. It's been places that are very tame. So all of a sudden, if you're under the age of like 60, you know, most people go to bed at like 8 o'clock in those places, and you're up at 9 o'clock, and you're getting yelled at by security and staff. And yeah, it's not fun.
Okay.
Not as bad as getting thrown out and locked up, but it's just like just barely even talking, but everyone else is in bed by 7:30 when Wheel of Fortune finishes, and it's not great.
So I'm exhausted after watching Millionaire Hot Seat. Yeah. Would you keep it down?
Yeah, adrenaline rush.
Maybe you need to get out into the wilderness, get away from those other people.
I think so.
This is what Daniel Forrest and his mates did. Three of his buddies went camping, but even though the ads make it look like a whole bunch of fun, it's not fun once you get back to civilization and realize you can't actually return home. That is what has happened to three of Daniel's mates, because they all went camping up in the Snowy River region. They were only about 10 k's over the Victorian border here in New South Wales. They didn't have any mobile phone reception.
Perfect.
So all this sort of coronavirus stuff that's happened over the Christmas New Year period, they were oblivious to. Okay? And so they get back, and all of a sudden, Daniel checks his phone. He's got a whole bunch of missed calls from mum saying, "You better get back, you better get back." Plus the usual, "Are you eating healthy? I can't get the TV to work. What do I do?" The usual messages, but mainly his mum was worried that he wouldn't be able to get back.
He probably knew something was up when he was driving back, and all of a sudden the border looks like North Korea or something. He's like, "Oh, okay, why is the missiles pointed at me? What's happening?"
Like Checkpoint Charlie sort of thing. He said he's okay because he's from Wangaratta, so he's within the border bubble. But his three mates aren't.
Oh, no.
And so chances are, unless their exemption is approved, they've filed for an exemption because they didn't know what was happening. Unless that's approved, they'll have to quarantine 14 days. So it's like back into the forest. We're off for another 2 weeks camping. Yeah. See you guys.
With the Yetis and stuff in the wilderness and the bunyips. How's that going to look though? Like, as far as excuses go, it's like, all right, what's your excuse? We were camping and we were off the grid. It's like, good luck.
How do you prove that? I don't know. Here's my shovel that I used to dig my poop hole.
I smell these armpits. I haven't had a shower in 4 days.
Daniel says, quote, "We were just out there sitting in the river and drinking beer and enjoying our New Year's, and we come back and it's sort of like that novel Tomorrow When the War Began." A few people that remember that from their high school days. Yeah. So, but you're doing all right, Daniel, because I think most people over New Year's, when they were out there just drinking beers, you know, they barely even remembered their own name, let alone
top of the class.
The pandemic. So, good luck getting home.
Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
2009. What do you remember about that year?
Nothing really.
Ah, good old Hutsy. 2009. Hutsy was flying high. You know, working a dead end job. Melbourne Storm.
Nothing's changed.
Yeah, Melbourne Storm had won the grand final, then got stripped of the grand final in the preseason.
That's right, I remember that.
But something else happened. I remember seeing an ad on TV. You know, it's one of those ads that you see, an ad for something or like a news report, and you're like, oh, that'll never take off. It was about something called Bitcoin, virtual currency.
Oh, yes.
2009 it was. What a year. Watching on TV, there's this guy in a suit looking all, you know, snappy at the pub, explaining how he was paying for the beer that he was about to drink. On his phone, because he had this thing called Bitcoin that had just taken off. I was like, what is this sort of stuff?
You buy your beers with it. You can make it clear that you've got the pool table next by putting your Bitcoin on the edge of the felt there. It's very versatile as a currency.
It's a bit of controversial currency, because for a lot of people, it's used by a lot of criminals to buy stuff and not leave a paper trail.
When it comes to things,
you know, Bitcoin, fractions of a coin or something like that. Did you ever, you know, tinker with the idea of possibly investing in Bitcoin over the years? Or
again, I don't know how it works.
I'm the same.
It might as well be magic to me, because I can't. I know it's to do with a blockchain. It's like you can't hack it. It's like it's
unhackable.
There's a lot of numbers involved. I don't know much about it, really, at all. Yeah. I know it's in, you know, but it's just like any currency, I guess. It's not. Everyone scoffs at it, goes, "Oh, Bitcoin, that's ridiculous." Yeah, and now I'm going to use this piece of paper or this piece of plastic that we all agreed upon has a certain value to buy something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the craziest thing I got involved in growing up was Dolomite spanking. You know, like you send your mate to these aliens every month or whatever, and all of a sudden they're going around to shiny brand new spaceships and that. But Bitcoin now, it's worth quite a bit of money. Like
I saw this yesterday.
Eye-watering amount of money. I think going into 2020, it was worth around $7,000 US, and going into 2021, it's now worth $42,567.
That is madness.
Imagine going to a shop. I'll have one Bitcoin, thanks. That'll be $43,000.
Imagine
thanks
like
for that.
Trying to get on the bus and like, you got change for a Bitcoin? No, nobody does. It's worth all this money. I am kicking myself that I never invested in Bitcoin.
At the entry level?
Stupidly bought all those Corona shares. Why did I invest in Corona beer? I thought this will never come back to bite me. Everybody loves beer.
Yeah, still plenty of skeptics though when it comes to Bitcoin as well. Like one of the big firms over in the UK, JP Morgan, their CEO Jamie Dimon said that basically he would basically slap all of his staff across the face if they even thought about investing in Bitcoin.
Really?
Like, 'cause he's saying it's just unstable, it's stupidity. This was in 2017 when it probably wasn't really at its best. Well, now, as it turns out, it looks like Australians have sort of to lean towards the virtual currency.
All right.
Because CoinDesk, which is a website, compiled data about people's attitudes in Australia towards Bitcoin and found 1 in 5 Australians own a form of cryptocurrency.
Wow. How are they getting their hands on it? I don't even know how you get a Bitcoin. Is it like Mario? You got to smash your head against a brick and this coin pops out or something? I don't know how it works. I know I had a friend who's really into computers, and one time he was talking about building his Bitcoin rig, which he could use to mine Bitcoin.
And I'm like, is it a little pickaxe?
What are you talking about? He's like, oh, I've got the Bitcoin lung. I've been down in the Bitcoin shaft for too long. I don't know how this works. Again, it's like magic to me.
And the worst thing is when you talk to people that know something about Bitcoin, they think they're the smartest person in the room. They're like, all right, everyone gather around. Let me tell you about the Bitcoin.
Take a knee, everyone.
That's the way they sort of, you know, act when the whole thing's going on as well. But apparently Aussies, they don't mind a bit of Bitcoin as well. So this, their logo is like this big gold, you know, coin. So it's something we can all aspire to maybe earn a Bitcoin back in your day. But I regret not investing, I'll be honest, back in 2009. I've got plenty of Bitcoins of currency in my pocket, but unfortunately they're just silver coins and they don't add up to $43,000.
No. Power FM's Brad and Hutsy, weekdays from 6.
And I know it's a little bit old-fashioned, but I'm a big believer in good manners, Hutsy.
Oh, of course, yes.
I kind of subscribe to Colin Firth's philosophy when it comes to manners.
Manners maketh man.
Or woman, or kids,
I was wondering
whatever.
Why you're wearing a cravat this morning.
No, I just think, you know, good manners, you know, you should always excuse yourself if you, you know, let some wind out or, you know, say excuse me if you bump into someone, things like that.
Is it okay if you, like, say, if you excuse yourself when you do it, when it's not a slipping out of the wind? What if you're like, excuse me, then you do it knowing you're doing it? If it's not like a, whoops. Sorry, that wasn't meant to happen.
So a preface to a fart, you say that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay, so you can just do it as long as you're like, sorry.
As long as you're like, oh, that was a good one. Yeah. Okay, that's maybe
all right.
With your mates, maybe you can get away with that. But otherwise, yeah, good manners. And the reason why is because that is how my mum and dad raised us, right? Anytime you're at dinner, if you let out a little burp, you'd say, pardon me. Mm. If you asked for something across the table, you'd say, can you please pass me that? When it was time to finish dinner, you'd say, may I be excused from the table? These were all the things that my parents were always like, you got to do this. This is what good manners are all about.
Parental law.
Yeah. Then I went and spent time with my mum over Christmas, and she made a nice dinner. We didn't eat it at the table. We were all sitting in the lounge room. So it was mum, my grandmother, and I just having a meal.
I feel like that's the way it's sort of developed over time. When I was real little, we'd eat dinner at the table. Now it's just the lounge room.
Yeah.
It's just on the lap or on the side arm of the lounge for me with a tea towel underneath.
Yeah. That's what they were like. They made dinner go, oh, do you need a tea towel under that? I'm like, I think I'll be all right. Thank you for asking. And so at one point we're eating dinner and then mum tries to strike up some conversation with a mouthful of food. She's like, Brad, and I'm like, I can't understand you, Mum. So her answer to that is to say it louder, but still with a mouthful of food. And I'm like, finish your mouthful, Mum. And then I started to sort of get angry about it because I'm like, as a kid, you were constantly getting up Stephen, my brother and I, for trying to talk with mouthfuls of food. Because first, you can't understand what the person is saying. Second of all, you're spitting like bits of food all over the table.
Yeah, some prawns rolling around in your mouth, floating around in there.
And you're spraying people sitting across from you. And so she finally finished her mouthful and she was able to get out what she wanted to say. I'm like, oh, great. And then 2 seconds later, you hear this come out of her mouth. Mum lets a burp go. I'm like, fair enough. It happens to the best of us. There was no beg your pardon. There was no
nothing.
Excuse me. And that's when I really fired up. I'm like, what happened? You and Dad were constantly on our backs to have good manners when we were kids. And now there's no excuse me. There's talking with your mouth full. What's going on?
That's when it's become too comfortable now. Because obviously if it's like a shock, you're like, oh, excuse me. But if it's just a followed by nothing, that's just like, oh, it happens all the time now.
Yeah. She was just like, oh, Brad, lighten up. Lighten up?
You sent me to a private military school and you're telling me to lighten up?
What if 8-year-old Brad turned around to you and you said, like, excuse yourself? And I went, oh, Mum, lighten up.
Lighten up, Mum.
I was so angry about it. I don't know why. I was like the whole time sitting there, I'm like, man, we're one step away from being the clumps. It's like,
you want your colon clean? Man, I'm going to clean mine.
I'm like, if that happens next time I'm dining with my family, I'm immediately filing for emancipation. I'm separating. I'm out. Sorry.
Wake up with Power FM's Brad and Hutsy.